Appreciate the special music today. I have a test for those who are here from Louisville. You're in trouble, because what I'm going to share with you today is something that I shared just a few weeks ago, but I made some modifications, and your job is to figure out what I changed. It was 8:55 in the morning, and I was very much looking forward to my 9 o'clock appointment. We'd be talking about a few things that I had wanted to address for some time. 9 o'clock rolls around, and I'm listening for the doorbell. The minutes tick by ever so slowly. You know when you're waiting for something, and the seconds go tick, tick. I mean, they're slow, and really slow going on. What did I do wrong here? Sorry. I'm talking with my wife and our daughter. Tick tock, tick tock. 9:10, 9:15, 9:20. Now I'm actually kind of looking at my watch, and while we're talking, my mind really is somewhere else. By the time 9:30 comes around, I pick up the phone and make a phone call. Hello, my name is Mark Winter, and I was just checking to make sure that Jim was okay and that he'll be here soon. On the other end of the phone was a moment of silence. Then I hear the lady who answered the phone mention to Jim in the background, Jim, your 9 o'clock's on the phone. There was another pause. She comes back on the phone and asks me what it was that I wanted done. That's right, my 9 o'clock appointment was with a remodeling company that had forgotten about my appointments. I was to receive a visit and an estimate for some work around the house. Does that at all sound familiar to you? Have you ever had an experience anywhere remotely like that? Probably so. By now I had a couple of choices. I could say, well, don't worry about it. I'll look elsewhere. I could get upset about it. Or I could try to work out something with them and schedule another appointment. As it turned out, that's exactly what I did, and of course they wanted to do that. And of course that meant then the follow-up choice number 3 was Monday appointment at 5 o'clock. It's a really rare company, it seems, these days that even respond to the point that they will set up an appointment and follow through. Tragic indeed. A majority don't even return phone calls, it seems like, when you try to get estimates for different things around the house. Maybe I just live in a rough part of the country, but I'm pretty sure most of you have experienced something similar to this. I must say that's something that really bothers me. As a former business owner, I can't tell you how many times that I would simply call up someone to tell them that I was running a little late, but that I'd be there within the hour. This in and of itself seemed to win over prospective customers, because all too often I was greeted pleasantly by an individual who said, "You're here, you came." How sad it is that we've reached that point. After all, your name over time becomes your reputation. In choosing a subject to speak about today, I spent some time thinking about what I would like to do or what I thought might be wise, and something that teens, as well as those of us who are now well beyond our teen years, could appreciate. Something that might need to be reinforced in our minds. After tossing this around for a while, I settled on this particular topic because I'm not sure that most young people really appreciate the importance of a good name. The truth is that God is very concerned about your name, and He expects us to be concerned about it as well. Today's sermon title, for those who like titles, is "What's in a Name?" Now, what do I mean when I say we need to be concerned about our name? Well, what too many people don't seem to understand is that when people come to learn who we are, they associate good or bad, positive or negative, with our name. We're all formulating a reputation, whether we think about it or pay that much attention to it or not. Hopefully we are paying attention to it, and that's part of what I want to really emphasize throughout the course of this message. God expects us to be making a good name for ourselves. He's expecting you and me, and yes, you teens, as well as the rest of us, to value His truth to the point that we desire to have a good name. Recently, we all heard or read about the new proclamation website that the church is getting ready to start, beginning, I believe it's June 1st, if I remember correctly, is the date. Excuse me. In fact, many of us now are writing material for that website. I'm going to read just a few paragraphs from what Mr. Kylo shared with us. Please bear with me and consider what it is that he's sharing in relation to name. He says, quote, "When we look back on the church history over the last several decades, we see the importance of such names, whether it was for magazines, radio, and television programs, or as now for a website. A name becomes familiar and memorable, and while it may not contain the name of your church, it certainly becomes an identity of who you are and what you represent to the world. Selecting the name for a gospel proclamation medium is as subjective and significant as choosing the name of your own new baby. And since it is for the internet, just imagine if your baby's name had to be one of a kind, a name that no one else had selected. Can't use the same internet names as is already taken, right? So can you imagine? I've heard some names. I can't begin to imagine where we would go if we all had to select our own name. So understandably, the domain name search process has been going on for quite a while. We had to carefully take into account a number of conceptual factors, such as, and he lists some bullet points here, how do we describe the central meaning of the gospel? What are we striving to convey? These words should be scripturally strong. We want the name itself to stimulate people's curiosity and draw them to search out the information contained on our site. We do not want to be easily confused with other religious websites, so the name needs to be sufficiently distinct as to position us more distinctly or distantly from mainstream religion. Words that rank highly in search engines are very good to have in the domain name. He says, we experimented with literally hundreds of words and combinations of words and phrases, but the three strongest and all-encompassing concepts that rose to the top were life, hope, and truth. A quick concordance search shows that these three simple words have very strong scriptural support in numerous biblical contexts that explain the core concepts of the gospel message. Life speaks to the why of human existence, and then he goes on to share more there. Hope is obviously the good news element of the gospel. Truth communicates authority. The word alone is a declaration and assurance to skeptical world that the truth does exist. With these factors and concepts in mind, we have settled on this as the domain name for our public proclamation website, and he proceeds to share www.lifehopeandtruth.com. It describes very simply the core concepts of the gospel, putting the focus on the central message of God and His Word. And that's the end of his quote that I'm going to share with you. Needless to say, much time, thought, effort, and prayer was put into coming up with this name. And I know that there was quite the amount of time that was spent on it. So I ask you, is that really all that important? Well, in a word, yes. How do I know this? Because God shows us this. He leads by example. He calls something exactly what it is. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Let's begin over here today. Isaiah chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, and notice verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Now, there's an extremely important concept that's given to us in this passage. Woe to those who call something that it is not. Good is good. It is not evil. Evil is not good. Evil is evil. We human beings sometimes call something good that is evil and evil that is good, but not God. He calls good good and evil evil. He shows us through this that He wants us to do the same. He doesn't want us to be manipulative, but honest. And part of being honest is calling something exactly what it is. So name is very important to God, and since it's important to Him, guess what? It needs to be important to us. So let me ask you a question. What do you think comes to mind or people's minds when they hear your name? Please don't all raise your hands or stand up. Just think about it for a minute. What do you think comes to people's minds when they hear your name? Do you believe they're thinking, well, you're kind. You're dedicated to living the way that God teaches in the Bible. Or is it possible that when someone hears your name, they associate your name with someone who gossips? Oh, you know, they just can't quit talking. They got thumbs that never stop. Doesn't take life seriously enough. Is rude. Is selfish. I don't know what comes to mind in different people's minds when they hear your name. But it's very important that we figure out, that we take time to make sure that we're working hard to create the name that God would be well pleased with. Let me be quick to point out that there's one thing writing, or one overriding thought, that you and I should be worried about concerning this topic. And one thing only. It's the same thing we should be thinking in, frankly, every aspect of life. What does God say, or in this particular case, what does God think when He hears your name? Because that's all that really matters. It really doesn't matter what someone else thinks. And when I say that, I mean, we want people to think well of us. I understand that. But we know who our judge is. We need to respond to His instruction. Are you really who you think you are, or are you really someone other than what we all see when we get together? Again, name's very important to God. Before I go any further in the Bible, I'll share with you one more personal example. Please keep in mind that we will look at both positive and negative examples today. This just happens to be another negative example. It seems like more often than not, that's what grabs our attention quickly and gets us to think about things. A number of years ago, Colleen and I bought a new home. It was in many ways a dream home for us. I, at the time, had a janitorial and a window cleaning business, and I had an office out and employees that came in and out of there. It's where we kept all the equipment and gear and trucks and so on. And then I had my house payment. Well, we found a house that actually had a feature in it that would allow for an office, and we used the garage as rows of shelving for warehouse, if you will, and so on. And so I thought, well, this is great. I could do this and actually be buying something that instead of paying rent that's going in down the drain over here and a house payment. So we bought this home. We looked for a while, and we didn't just quickly make this decision or come to this. In fact, we were a bit surprised that we would be able to do this when we really started running the numbers. But I remember very distinctly going through, and every time we went back in the house, we found something else, just a little something else. And we thought, oh, well, we need to fix that, or we'll need to. This was a new home. This was I think they probably have them here around Atlanta, too, or in the summertime, where they have little show home sections or something every so often, or do little homeramas, I think is what they call them up where we are. And this was in a little section there where it was one of those, and it had been sitting empty for a number of months after a previous summer show. Well, there were little things that we began to figure out as to why it was sitting empty, actually. And so we thought about things and so on, and we made an agreement with the owner of the builder of the home that he would take care of X, Y, and Z and all the issues that we wanted addressed and so on. We would go ahead and purchase, and we got that in writing. Well, we were naturally very excited about being in this and that it was available to us. But you know, over time, there was, for example, just to give you an example, we had a leaky basement. Now, the basement was unfinished. It's since been finished. And you're asking about that, and I think there is something here. Thank you. You know what that's a sign of? That's a sign of a married man. He caught what was going on over here at the same time. (Laughter) I was oblivious to that kind of thing when I was younger. Anyway, so we had a water coming in the basement, and it came in, was coming up through the window well and coming down. So we asked them to get that fixed, obviously, squared away, finally got done. There were so many things that were addressed, and we were quite happy for the most part, until, of course, simple things then later, like the first time we had hard rain after we were in the house that we had no knowledge of, where water started coming in the fireplace. And there just were an endless list, seemed a litany of things. Well, guess what happened? The man who built the house, who really was more of a design guy, clearly not the greatest builder at the time, began to just not answer my phone calls. So in my mind to this day, even though he might be a nice man in a number of different areas and ways in life, there's a certain mental picture that I have when I hear that name today, based upon the experience that we had. Couple that with his lack of follow-up, and that too contributes to a specific reputation. Now, again, our name will clearly conjure a mental picture in people's minds, and as we will see from the pages of the Bible, our loving Supreme Father and our elder brother, our eternal elder brother, place great value on a name. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy and check this out. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. And let's pick up in verse 11. Deuteronomy 5, verse 11. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now here we are reading the third of God's Ten Commandments, and he informs us in no uncertain terms that God expects us to place much care and concern and honor to his name. Very clear instruction. He says, don't take my name in vain. In other words, treat it with reverence. Treat it with respect. When you read God's name, when you hear God's name being used, or when you talk about God, what runs through your mind? In my mind, when I hear God mentioned, I automatically think of respect. That is, the respect that I am to show him. That's automatically associated in my mind as soon as I hear God's name. This is something I know based on this scripture alone that God expects from me. And that's why it's also so important that we do not use any form or euphemism of his name either in a wrong context at all. We're not, an obvious example that comes to mind has got to be if you ever watch the Extreme Home Makeover or HGTV or something, and as soon as they see the new showing, what's the very first thing? And you don't say it, but you know exactly what they say. It's as though there's nothing else in the dictionary to possibly use other than OMG. So when I ask the question, is a name really that important to God? What do you think? Based on what we just read right there, before we even go further, and we're going to go further, of course. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, well, that's how God feels about his name. But that doesn't mean that our name is important to him. Well, actually, that's not true at all. We'll see this in just a minute, but let's first continue with the importance of God's name. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, let's take a look at verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Now, although most people today do not appreciate the name of God, the Father, or Jesus Christ when they hear them, and why do I say that? Well, based upon how little reverence and respect is paid, frankly, even individuals who feel or think they do, perhaps in their minds. Their actions are telling perhaps another message altogether. But they don't respond to what the Bible teaches. The truth is that a time is coming when God's name will be revered by all. It's important to Him. It needs to be important to us. This is why every one of us in here should want to be as far away as we possibly can be from using any form of taking God's name in vain. That's why. If God sets this as the standard, that's what we're to shoot for. Now, as you've already heard and know, the theme of camps this coming summer we'll be working on, raising the bar. This is a perfect area. Because frankly, and I know, particularly teens, I know everywhere you go in school, you hear God's name taken in vain. I know that. It's a conscious effort you have to make to not do that, to be different, to say, that's not me. I know God holds me to a higher standard. This may not seem like a big deal to many people, but if it's important enough to God to place as one of His Ten Commandments, it really doesn't matter what someone else thinks now, does it? What matters is, are we responding to what He shows? Now let me ask this question. Does God show anywhere in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible, that our name is valued by Him? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10, and notice verse 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. As are the Proverbs so often, they are very short, succinct, and clear. So after reading this verse, I want to go back to the question that I posed a couple of minutes ago. What kind of name have you made for yourself? Again, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Now, in the case of your parents who might be baptized and been a part of this walk of life for a lengthy period of time, teens, this is what they're concerned about, making sure that righteousness is indicative of how they live their life. Teens, frankly, you should be concerned about this as well. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Perhaps I should ask, what kind of name are you making for yourself? Not what have you made, but what are you making currently? Would God consider you righteous or wicked? The reason I ask this is because something does come to God's mind when He hears your name. It is the name of the righteous, as we see here, that will be blessed, and as we are reminded, the wicked that will rot and be forgotten. You know, when you think about what we're given in this instruction about a name, I can't help but think about the fact that we are told in Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37, that every idle word a man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And that fits in very neatly with the third commandment that we just saw and talked about, and taking God's name in vain. It's another reminder of how much emphasis God places on both the tongue and uses of names. Again, God expects us to understand that we're not to use any form of His name in vain. And the general rule of thumb we should always use, by the way, is when in doubt, don't use it. Well, you know, I'm not sure if I should do such and such. Well, don't do it. Proverbs 22. Now back to the point I was stressing about how God sees our name. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Oh, come on, Mr. Moore, you're killing me now. How can you say that? I could have all the things I could have if I just had money. What do you have if you have money? Do you have people's respect? Not necessarily. What do you really have? What do you have if you have a good name? Something that's worth a whole lot more, according to what God says here. Why would the wisest man on the face of the earth make this statement? Is name really that important? Absolutely. After all, you don't have to be a person of character. You don't have to be a person of strength. You don't have to be a person of wisdom. Selfishness is what comes into the picture. Wisdom and selflessness, sorry. To have money. You don't have to have any of those things to have money. You do, however, have to exhibit those traits in order to have a good name. So in order to have a good name, work, self-discipline, and character must be most active in our lives. Thus it begins to make sense as to why God places such emphasis on the value of a name. After all, He wants to see these attributes in our lives, as He knows this will help us mature and will certainly make us happy. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Notice the very first part there, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. Well, how big a deal is that? To answer that question, we need to understand the importance of precious ointment. Because what's that mean to us unless we understand that, right? Reading from several commentaries, they all pointed out that ointment that is used here, it was considered to be one of the most valuable commodities of the day. Probably to a certain degree, not unlike some people would love to have gold bars today. This is something of extreme importance. It was used lavishly at costly banquets. It was peculiarly... You know, certain words just used to roll off the tongue easily. I need to maybe have some more of this lemon juice, special juice we've got up here. Used lavishly at these banquets, Solomon is saying that a good name, that is a man or a woman of character, of godly mind and life, an individual that is of both name and reality, a person of God, is a person far wealthier than one who may appear to be wealthy to most human beings. You see, when God hears our name, just as when we hear a name, a picture comes to mind. God is watching to see if we are who we say we are. You know, we can say a lot of different things to people, and we might be able to sell other people on something. We can't do that with God. God's watching to see if we are who we say we are. For example, we can't merely say we're a true Christian. We have to back it up with behavior that shows indeed we are a true Christian. When we do this, we can be certain that God has a warm smile on His face when He hears our name. Teens, this is something that has to be very important to us before we can repent, before we can be baptized, before we can be given God's Holy Spirit. We're going to have to show through our actions that we will follow Him no matter what. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Romans, the second chapter. And let's begin reading in verse 24. Romans 2, verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Paul is quoting here from Isaiah 52 and verse 5. And he points out that the Jews' lack of obedience caused the Gentiles to speak lightly of God of Israel, thus contributing to God's name being blasphemed because of their disobedience. You see, when the Gentiles looked at the Jews, they saw people who did not practice what they preached. And like most people do, they judged the Jews' religion by their scandalous conduct. Now, what if somebody said, you know, I know, and you put your name in the blank there. So-and-so, your name is filled in there. And I know what church they go to. I see how they live their life, and man, they're a big fake. I don't know how you feel about that. Maybe you don't care much one way or the other. God cares and expects us to care. What can we learn from this? Well, I hope it's very obvious. By our example, we are making a bad name or good name for ourselves, as well as the church we attend, for that matter. The church is the body of believers. You know, it's a fair statement to say that Christianity is given a bad name when people profess it but don't live it. And according to what we just read, this is blaspheming the name of God. This leads to the question, how important is it that our example match our declaration? Perhaps one way to answer this is by asking the question, how important do you think it is to God? And I know I've mentioned this before to others, but I feel it's worth repeating. I grew up in the church. There's a number of you in here who grew up in the church, and a number of others in here that are currently growing up in the church. One of the bigger disappointments, frankly, for me, as I grew up in the church and began to become an adult and walk this way of life, was the disappointment to find out how many people really didn't walk this walk. It's not my job. They don't have to answer me. That's not the point. But I was disappointed in that, you know, for as many people as occupied seats in one of these church services and said, yes, I get this and want to walk this way of life and walk this walk, I was disappointed to find out over time there are a lot of people that, frankly, that just wasn't that relevant or important to them, at least not enough to convict them to say, I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to continue to be excited about this walk. Why do I share that with you? Well, because I don't want any of you to fall into that category. How important is it that our example match our declaration? Let's notice a scripture, another one in Proverbs concerning God's name, in Proverbs 18. How protective of you, or of your name, are you? Proverbs 18. Verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You notice that God's name brings about a picture of strength. He's always there for us. We know by reading in other places throughout the Bible that we can not only lean on Him at any time, but frankly, we're also encouraged to do so. And in fact, we're told to take our worries and our concerns and leave them at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes that can be challenging. We can go there and get on our knees, try to take something to Him, and then we strap it right back on our shoulders and we carry it with us. We didn't leave it at His feet. But you know, you read a verse like that, isn't that exactly how you picture God? The tower of strength? I sure do. My point in going here is that God's name is one that evokes the thought of strength. Wouldn't it be awesome to know that that's what your name, my name, evoked? Oh, you know, I think of so-and-so. Man, they're strong. They know exactly what they believe and why. They walk, it doesn't matter what anybody else does, they walk the straight and narrow. They're faithful. They're dedicated. They're always there. You can always count on them. So again, what do you think comes to people's minds when they hear your name? Do you believe people hear your name and think consistent? How about warm? Pleasant? What about kind? Gentle? Perhaps when people think about you, what comes to mind is pretender or rude or shallow or a host of other adjectives that are less than admirable, but not at all, frankly, uncommon. Yes, name is extremely important. Your parents or grandparents can work long and hard over many years to forge and build a good name. And you or I or our children can shoot that down in a short amount of time. That's how it works. Someone, you know, you lose trust in someone, it takes a while to build it back, doesn't it? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and read something interesting here. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, and let's take a look at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Boy, that is a name that conjures a beautiful picture. Wouldn't you agree? Once again, the name describes who he is. Here are some examples of what comes to mind with some names that I've encountered in the past. Now, I won't share the names with you, but I can remember very clearly a lady who was a wonderful lady in the church many years ago when I was young. This lady would, in many ways, give the shirt off her back to you. She was just a really kind lady, but had absolutely no sense of time. And so when she came to church, for example, that meant we were always in at least the sermonette, basically, by the time she got there. And it didn't matter whether it was 10 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That didn't change. So everyone knew that as sweet as this lady was in so many ways, she had a reputation. She could not be on time. I can remember a particular plumber that we called one time when we had an issue in the house. They came. It was with a sump pump. I don't know if you have sump pumps here or not, or many of you do. They're not my favorite. I'll just put it that way. Okay? But if you have a basement, that seems to be the route that most builders go now. And so we had a sump pump. And some of the workings came loose, and we ended up with some water in the basement. He came over to fix the circumstance, and within a week, his job was so good that we had to call another plumbing company. So when I see this particular plumbing company trucks go by where I live, needless to say, I'm not likely to call them again. You understand what I'm saying? We all build reputations based upon what we're doing with our name and how much we even pay attention to properly respecting and building a respectful name. If I just say the word floor services, my wife might break over into sweats over here. We've got a company that came to lay down a kitchen floor. I won't bother to go into all the details, but needless to say, we bought what they, well, and they sold us on, and we liked the product and this flooring to put down. And unfortunately, the installers did a very poor job. And through a series of events, the higher-up that actually came from Atlanta came to our home in Indiana and assured us that they would put down a new floor, et cetera. But they really wanted to use the same people to put it down again. Well, by then, our trust was shot in the people based upon the job that had been done. The owner was quite cocky, frankly, about the whole thing. Every one of us in this room that's had any real-life experiences has stories like this. The question comes down to, what do we really want our name to say to people? What does God hold us to? That's what matters. Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 24. A proud and haughty man, scoffer, is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. In this particular example, this person's actions screamed to those around him that you really couldn't take him seriously. He was full of himself, and thus he was known as a scoffer. Now, I'm hopeful that all of us in here want to be known as something far better than that. But of course, it has to be important enough to you before you'll invest in making a good name. Like anything else, we do what we want to do, and we don't do what we really don't want to do. That's why I've told told people before, if I had more character, I wouldn't be this heavy. I clearly haven't reached the point where it's been bad enough to me to fix it. I mean, you know, we've got to be honest about things. That's what I'm trying to get us to see and understand. If God calls something what it is, we need to think and operate that way. Let's look at some passages showing with clarity what God meant when He said what He said in giving the third commandment. Isaiah chapter 12. Not that He didn't mean the others, by the way, but we specifically want to consider the one concerning His name. Isaiah chapter 12. Verse 4. In that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His deeds among the peoples, make mention that His name is exalted. The mere mention of His name demands honor. He's to be honored. He's to be exalted above all else. This is why I say what I do about the lady that I mentioned a moment ago who was notoriously late for services each week. I don't believe she understood that it was dishonoring God to come to church late every week. He gives us this little window of time, if you will, every week to be able to congregate together, to fellowship together, to learn the truth together. I think it's important to God that we be here based upon what He shows us in here. But sometimes we're not always thinking about it that way. We're thinking about all the other things that are going on in life instead of thinking about things the way God wants us to. Fellow family members, whether we realize it or not, that is a statement to God that He's not important to us, enough to us, if we can't be on time. There's always exceptions, and when I say that, I mean car accidents, traffic jams, issues, and so on. I'm talking about on a regular basis, obviously. It is His commanded observance that we be together honoring and worshiping Him. It's not someone else's rules, but rather that's what He commands. It's such a shame that in this particular case, and again, very dear lady in so many ways, didn't understand or appreciate that. Let's now continue with this theme of honoring God and His name. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Here we are breaking into the Sermon on the Mount. Obviously, the words of Jesus Christ. He says here in verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Well, what's hallow mean? Hallow means to make holy, to set apart, to reverence, to honor. The mere mention of His name should cause us to think and think soberly about what He's done for mankind, for us, and what He means to us. You know, if nothing else resonates, I would hope we would figure out early on in life that you and I wouldn't even be here on the face of this earth if we weren't brought into this world by God in the first place. Who are we to disrespect Him? You know, things like that seem to make sense if you can put them black and white enough to say, look, He's the one that brought us into this earth. He's the one that gives us the opportunity for eternal life. Who am I to disrespect Him? So many people in this world, that's exactly what they do. And in turn then, they don't really treat their own reputation or name in any way near the form that they should. It's a matter of not caring. The mere mention of His name, as we see here in the Sermon on the Mount, should cause us to think and think more soberly about what He's done for all of us. Frankly, when we value this as God wants us to, we'll also begin to grasp how important it is that we develop a good name as well. John chapter 3. Let's go there for a moment. John 3. John 3, verse 18, once again, the words of Jesus Christ, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the name Jesus Christ, as well as God the Father, is to be respected and not taken lightly. In fact, it's only after we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior that we can even become a member of the family of God. Before baptism and laying on of hands comes repentance and a sincere respect and appreciation for what Christ afforded us by sacrificing Himself for each of us. Surely his name, as the Father's name, demands honor and respect. And I'll give you an example of the difference of how focus is with some people over others, perhaps. And again, point not being to look at someone else, but to question, where am I in this? Sometimes people will make decisions based on relationships with other people. Well, we don't want to do this because it might hurt them over there. Now, I'm not saying we should do things to hurt people. We should do everything we can to avoid hurting people. But you know, sometimes if in you standing for respecting God, you make decisions that actually somebody else is offended by, have you done the right thing? Yeah, you have, because you answer to God. The difference is some people look at and value the relationships around them more than they value their relationship with God. That's upside down. John 3 and verse 18 is very clear here, isn't it? His name, as the Father's name, demands respect and honor. Isn't it a horrible shame and indeed a grievous sin to see Christ's name ridiculed, as is the case with those who take it in vain? They don't realize they're doing it, but that's exactly what they're doing. Teens, I'm speaking to you for a moment here too. I know you're bombarded, as I said, with people around you at school. Please, don't you do it. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Now, the choice is yours, it's not someone else's. So it is truly your choice as to whether you want to speak differently, whether you want to view the material that comes from the Bible and the Word of God differently or not. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, so this is the mind we are all to be working towards having. Who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be made equal with God, that is Jesus Christ, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, as a result, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Surely that reiterates what we just saw in the book of John. God does not treat names lightly, so we shouldn't. This stresses the importance of a name while at the same time pointing out that Jesus Christ's name is ahead of and before others. This is so much the case that when we go to speak to Him, you notice what we're told to do? Did you catch that there in verse 10? That the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. That's why we get on our knees when we pray to God. That's pretty important, isn't it? This is not to say that we can't talk to him, by the way, in other positions. And sometimes people get in circumstances where they can't get on their knees anymore at all. So you go to God in the best condition that you can. You bow before him. You make sure that you're certainly honoring and respectful. But rather, the vast majority of the time we come to him, if we are able, should be on our knees. He deserves that honor and respect. He's our elder brother. He's our personal Savior. And again, for the teens, I'm assuming that somebody... You too will make the commitment to become baptized, and you will appreciate, as never before, Christ sacrificing his life for you. Now, as I was taking time to put this material together, and particularly as I read this passage in Philippians, I found myself thinking of the saying, sticks and stones may hurt your bones, but names will never hurt me. Now, there are two thoughts that came to my mind as I thought about that. First of all, God would not call names. He doesn't take it lightly. That should be enough for us to know what we should and shouldn't do right there. But secondly, if you care about your name and your reputation, name calling can and does hurt. Again, when our name is uttered, it should evoke good thoughts. It should cause fond remembrances. It should be about respect. You know, when we call someone Mr. or Mrs., it's a sign of respect. Now, I realize that we are currently living in a society of less and less formality. However, what does God teach needs to be our guide, not society around us. You know, we live in a time where people may ask you to call them by their first name, and if that's what they've asked you to do, then that's certainly fine. But it is and should be considered an honor, frankly, to be called a Mr. or Mrs. at a certain point in life anyway. And I do hope that we would honor those who are our seniors and those who have been placed in positions of authority and honor by God. Again, if someone calls you or asks you to please call them by the first name, that's their choice. But the point is, a good name is worthy of respect and honor. Most of you here live in part of the country where you still hear some yes sirs, yes ma'ams, that kind of thing. You get out south, you don't hear that anymore. Just interesting in what's happened as transition over time. Now, I'm not advocating that we somehow become something that's impossible to live. I'm just simply saying, think about what we're doing and why we're doing it and what God holds us to. Because as society continues to tail off and go down this particular path, we're supposed to be still holding to a high standard. And again, that's what should matter. It's interesting how certain names evoke particular responses for most everyone who knows that person or company. There's a company who sells a particular product. Again, I'm being vague on purpose because I'm not trying to crucify anybody up here by any means. But there's a particular company that sells products that advertises, or at least used to advertise in our area, as the big thing that they were was they knew their product. And they could talk about it like nobody else could. And every time I went into that particular store, you know, the one thing they couldn't do is tell me anything about what they were selling. They were advertising one thing. The product, frankly, was totally different. That's not reality. That wasn't who they were. They were projecting something that they weren't. What about you? And that's, again, all that matters. The individual sitting in your seat, in my case, where I am, what comes to mind, what's really the reputation that we're making? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go there for a moment. 1 Thessalonians 5, and take a look at verse 22. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, some translations have it, the old King James had, avoid every appearance of evil. You know, a person seeking to have a good name will be conscious of this and will not tend to take it too lightly. They'll appreciate what this verse shares and see it as more important than what others do. That's a very important verse. I find that to be a verse that is challenging for our young people to grasp. And maybe you should ask yourself as you read that, teenagers, what does that mean to you? Test all things, hold fast what is good. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. What does that mean to you, abstain from every form of evil? You should have a conversation with your parents about it sometime. Ask them what it means to them. Might mean something considerably different than it means to you. You know, you put yourself in a bad situation, that's when bad things happen. In the sporting world, football world, basketball, and so on, a lot of times they'll tell even the professional athletes that are out on their own now, please don't go out to certain destinations or bars or wherever and be out past midnight or 1. Why? Well, because nothing ever seems to happen good. Now, that's where the world is. We should be able to look at this and say, you know, there's certain things we just don't ever want to be in that position to be in trouble or be thought of negatively. It's just a couple of friends that are hanging out together. They just want to sleep in the same room. They got their own sleeping bags. There's nothing wrong. Nothing's going on. I know, some people, you're so old-fashioned. Guess what? You put yourself in that position, you're opening yourself up for people to make assumptions. Whether it's true or not, it's a matter of if you want to have a respected name or not. think the way God thinks, and good things happen to us. But we got to be willing to do that. Each of us has a responsibility concerning our own name. In fact, it's very important, or certainly should be to each of us, that when we hear our name called or read from, ultimately, we want it to be read from the book of life. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John 10, and let's take a look beginning in verse 3. Once again, the words of Jesus Christ, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Will Christ call out your name? I believe that's important to you, or you wouldn't be here. But surely this stresses the importance of a name and the relevance of being who we say we are, or what we say we are. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We'll notice beginning in verse 9. Hebrews 6 beginning in verse 9. "Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you," yes, things that accompany salvation, "though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." In other words, each of us has a job to do. We have a name to live up to. Respect and honor God and his name, while at the same time, we are trying to work diligently at building a good name. Revelation 11, a couple more scriptures or so here before we get ready to close up. Revelation 11, beginning in verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded. There were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth.' Those who are called, those who sincerely repent, will show that they respect the name of God and will prove themselves to be true saints." Now, maybe sometimes some of the younger ones in here may be thinking, "I'm hearing this, but it's not clicking a lot yet." Just take time. Take as much time as you need to slowly read through the Bible and think about, why does God word things the way he does? What's his point in why he wrote it this particular way? The more you study and do that, the more you will think and operate the way God does. Fellow family members, carrying a good name is of great importance to God, as carrying a good name in his eyes means that we are living a life of commitment, dedication, warmth, love, joy, obedience to God and the truth of God. In the 15th chapter of Matthew, we are shown something concerning the importance of a name. So let's go there for a moment. Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and beginning in verse 1. "Scribes and Pharisees who were in Jerusalem or from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, and why do they get Do they not wash their hands when they eat bread?'" Now, these individuals are individuals who are more concerned about different ritualistic laws that have been written up. They weren't interested in, or they missed the bigger point of what God said. He answered and said to them, Jesus Christ did, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, well, whoever says to his mother or father, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart, it's far from me? You know, that'd be a terrible thing to be said about us, wouldn't it? What verse 8 says? Well, they draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart, it's far from me. In vain, verse 9, they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. My hope is that all of us would have a greater appreciation and respect for bringing honor to our family name. That certainly includes our family in the church as well as our physical family. You guys, all of you, everyone in here. People know where you go to attend church, then that says a statement to them about what you represent. In the church, it's important to understand that we are supposed to be representing the family of God. We of all people have quite a name to uphold. What are you personally doing about it? What will people think of Kagwa as a result of being around you? As a result of some employees, sometimes we don't care to do business with certain companies. They can give their employer a bad name. I must say, one of the bigger challenges that I had when I owned business was dealing with employees that would since I had a janitorial business, sometimes they would steal from our customers. Maybe they were feeding a drug habit. Had an employee that was shot over a phone booth situation. It's sad what you see in society around us. But I had to, it's not easy to go back and try to keep the business with your name on the business when your employee stole from the customer. You got to work hard to keep that business. There are many good examples throughout the Bible of people who had a good name. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Joshua, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Esther, Jacob, Josiah, many prophets, and of course later in life, the apostles, Joshua and Caleb. There's lots of good examples in the Bible. They certainly had good names. Let's look at one example of a man who was a bad example and became a good one before we're coming to a close. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Now, there are many in here already familiar with. Some of our younger ones may not be as familiar with the story that we're about to read here in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Saul, who would become known, by the way, a little later as the Apostle Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. This was a man who was out to go after whoever was preaching the truth. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. He suddenly, a light was shown around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goad. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And can you imagine if you were standing there and you hear this voice, but you can't see, there's no one there? That'd be a little different, wouldn't it? Saul arose from the ground and his eyes were not opened. Or when he opened, he saw no one. In other words, he was blind temporarily. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. And now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight and inquire. Isn't that great? The street called Straight. See, here he is. He's calling something. Once again, isn't it beautiful what God gives us? The simple things like this sometimes, we can be reading, thinking about something, just read right over. I like that. Arise, go to the street called Straight. Maybe it crossed and intersected with Narrow. I don't know. And inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to you, your saints in Jerusalem. Notice the response here. Now, are you sure? Are you sure this is really the man that you want me to see? Because he has a reputation. He comes after people that speak the truth. When the name Saul was uttered, there was much concern. Verse 15. The Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer, how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now stop here for just a moment. Can you imagine the reputation that Saul had? And now, just that quickly, he's preaching the Son of God. All who heard were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews. I don't get it. He was this guy over here. What happened? He confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, it took some time, and we don't have time to read more, but eventually, those who were converted thought something vastly different when they heard the name Paul than they did when they heard the name Saul. What's the point? Well, the point that I would like to bring out here is that no matter what our reputation is in the past, with the help of God, that too can change if it's not been a particularly good reputation or a good name. So that when someone hears our name, they think of something far better than they used to. And let me tell you, that's a good thing. Because some people who might have known me, even though I grew up in the church when I was 18 or 21 versus now, I would like to think have a little different opinion. Hopefully a lot different, frankly. If our reputation is one of being late, as I brought out in the earlier example, we could change that. It doesn't have to be that way for the rest of time. Well, you know, that was the old so-and-so. Wow, they've changed. I'd like to close now by reading from the 12th chapter of John. John 12. That's when I get excited, is when I read different things and I look and I see that, you know, no matter what's happened in the past, it doesn't have to stay that way. And I control whether that's going to change or not. I like that. I hope we're excited about that as well. John chapter 12. It takes God's Spirit working in us to help us make those big changes, but we need to do that. John 12, verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. When someone hears your name, do they see you as a servant of God? Young people, you should be working on that now. Well, I got to wait. Well, what are you waiting for? Well, I'm not old enough. Look, you can make excuses all day long. It's your choice. Why can't you do it? Why can't you make a good name for yourself now? Why does it have to be later? In fact, it's going to be harder to get that good name if you go out and do stupid things now. When someone hears your name, do they see you as a servant of God? I sure hope so. Just as my hope is that our new website will live up to its name and is filled with biblically driven material about life, hope, and truth. Our name needs to evoke good and respectable thoughts in the minds of others. When God and other people hear your name, something comes to mind. It's our job to make certain that what comes to mind is pleasing, and most importantly, pleasing to God. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you today and looking forward to this evening.